We start the Wintrust Business Lunch on a Wednesday with our friend Terry Savage, the money lady at terrysavage.com. Hi, Terry.
Hi. I don't know what's more exciting, the weather or the inflation report or everything else political going on in Washington.
You mean the Biden inflation?
No, I'm talking about the current inflation.
Oh, okay.
Of course, it came from January. So I guess if you want to put a label, a presidential label on it, you can. But no matter how you label it, the report today was very disappointing.
I'm quoting the president now. And why is it disappointing, Terry?
It's disappointing because we had been making such progress. And Fed Chairman Powell had kept saying, you know, well, we're watching. So it reminds me of the firemen. They put out the fire. The fire is officially struck. But they leave someone there to just make sure there aren't any embers simmering among the ashes that would break into flame again. Happened in the wildfires in California. Now we're seeing it happening with inflation. And it is not because of eggs or food, because actually what they call the core inflation without food and energy was even higher, a 3.3% annual rate in this report. With food, despite eggs, with food and energy, it was a year over year 3%, and you know the Fed's target is 2%. And so this means, and it happened immediately in the interest rate markets, you could see it as the numbers came across, long-term interest rates started to rise in the bond market. The 10-year Treasury note jumped from a little over 4.5 to over 4.6. I think just a minute or two ago it was 4.62. And that means that mortgage rates will follow. The current 30-year fixed rate mortgage at 6.95%. will probably head up over 7% again, and that all contributes to inflation. And do you notice sort of a vicious circle here? So the news today was disappointing. It was disappointing at the opening anyway to the stock market, still down a bit, and it's disappointing to the outlook for inflation. And all of this before anything about tariffs.
Seems like whenever you have some good news, there's some bad news, or bad news, there's some good news. Is there a silver lining to this inflation report? Does that reflect somehow on jobs or wages or interest rates?
Here's your silver lining. I know all of you out there have T-bills. I have posted 5 times at least on my blog, Ask Terry at terrysavage.com. Don't worry about your T-bills, no matter who's muttering around in Washington in the systems. But if you are renewing a T-bill, the interest rate will go up. It should be at least 4.36%. Maybe it'll be 4.4% by the time the auction comes around on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So the silver lining is, if you're a saver, rates will inch up a little bit.
Terry, you have been talking on and off with our listeners saying be patient, but that business of double dipping into Social Security and a public pension will happen. Do you have any update or thoughts about that today?
You know, don't ask me, because I have talked to the people at Social Security, the officials. Here's one of the things we know, and I was going to check this one.
What's the three-letter acronym for what we're talking about, Terry?
The WEP, the Windfall Elimination Provision, and the GPO, the Government Pension Offset.
Got it.
Those were removed by an act of Congress just at the very end of the year. So that meant that if you earned, not if you didn't get Social Security benefits, if you had earned Social Security benefits or had spousal Social Security benefits or widow Social Security benefits or widower, and if your benefit was reduced because you had a public service pension, a fireman, a policeman, a teacher, whatever, there was always an offset since the early 1980s. It reduced your benefits, even though you paid in, and you had the 40 requisite quarters to have benefits, or even though you were allowed to have spousal benefits or survivor benefits. The law that was passed said, as of year end 2023, meaning for all of 2024, there should be no WEP. So Social Security says to me, they're very busy reprogramming their computers, which is, you know, their computers are really old, to give you a lump sum in to make up for 2024, and B, get your benefits increased in 2025. don't call them. On the other hand, if you were entitled to maybe a survivor, a widow's benefit or a spousal benefit, but didn't bother applying because your benefits were going to be so low, if you never applied, now is the time to apply because they will calculate your benefit without that WEP or GPO offset. Yeah. But I know everybody's asking me when. Look, we had a great nominee for the new commissioner of Social Security, the chairman of Fiserv, which is a great, great, great financial services technology behind the scenes company. And just a week into the new administration, he withdrew his name. So at the moment, as far as I know, we don't have a new nominee for Social Security commissioner. And I'm kind of glad because they're messing around in everything. I don't want them messing around in that, even though a lot of messing around needs doing.
Yeah.
I was thinking of applying for the job, if you want to know the truth.
I would completely support that. But for those people that want that WEP or that GPO, they don't have to do anything, though. It happens automatically whenever it happens.
Yes, if you're already collecting benefits.
There you go.
But I don't know when that will be, as in don't hold your breath.
Terry Savage is on the line, and we're talking with the Money Lady. Lots of questions for you, Terry. Anything else you want to get in our ear before I go to the questions?
No, ready to go. Although I will say this. During the break, I thought maybe I'd check and see if Social Security has updated anything since I looked late last week. And there is something new. I don't think they want me to promote this, but new in big red letters. For people who didn't, remember I mentioned if you did not previously apply for your retirement benefits because of this pension
right.
offset or your spouse's pension offset, if you have never applied, not if you're already reduced, but if you never applied, they now will take you over the phone at 800-772-1213, the main Social Security number, 800-772-1213. But when you get through all the messages and they ask you to make some choices about how you can be helped, what you have to say is Fairness Act. And then you'll answer a few questions. And so if you never applied because you thought it would be ridiculous because your pension was going to be reduced to nothing, you can call now, and this is very unusual. They will take those apps over the phone, 800-772-1213. That's the same number on their homepage at ssa.gov.
Fairness Act. By the way, Terry, if I may, so for instance, my dad, a lifelong public servant, he was in Air Force, retired, worked in the Joliet Junior College, worked for the prison system, but always public sector. I don't know that my dad ever worked in the private sector. My mom did have limited income working for a department store and a real estate agency and stuff like that. So they've been collecting dad's pensions and some Social Security, but the scenario I just described, is it possible?
Stop right there. Some Social Security.
They do get some.
If he never had a job in which it doesn't have to necessarily be in the private sector, because some public sector jobs did take out a FICA deduction.
Yeah.
So if, in fact, he, despite having this pension offset, qualified for some benefits, or if she had the requisite 40 quarters, it might have been a long time ago, might be a very low benefit. If she didn't apply for Social Security, she should apply, and she should call that number and see if she'll get her Social Security now, because it won't be reduced because of his public pension.
So
you're going to do a little detective work with your parents. Who's getting the Social Security benefit?
Well,
one or both?
I don't know.
Yeah. Go home and ask. Tell me next week.
Oh, when I ask, trust me, they won't know. They're going to ask me, but I'm sure we can discern.
Well, it'll be deposited into one or the other of their accounts. That's how you'll know.
Okay, 312-981-7200. Hey, Terry, is there a minimum amount to buy T-bills?
No, $100. So you go to treasurydirect.gov.
Well, that sounds like a minimum, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, that's very, very minimal. And you, as a matter of fact, if you go to terrysavage.com, on the right-hand side, there's a box that says how to buy T-bills. Give you all the instructions. You need your bank account number, your bank routing number, your Social Security number. Here's a word, two quick words. Number one, if you have a revocable living trust, You want to buy your T-bills in an account titled Joe Smith Revocable Living Trust, or Joe and Mary Smith Revocable Living Trust, or the Smith Family Revocable Living Trust. You went to the trouble of setting up this estate planning tool, your Revocable Living Trust. Open the account. It's in the name of the Revocable Living Trust. It uses your Social Security number, and you'll link it to a bank account in the name of your trust. If you don't have one of those, you're just Susan Smith, then you open your account. Susan Smith, here's my Social Security number. Here I am at Wintrust Bank. Here's the bank routing number. Here's my account number. And say, okay, let me take a look. I want to buy 26-week bills, 6-month bills. I have $3,500 in my money market account. You can link the money market account and say on Monday, the next auction, 6 and 3 month bills, 26 and 13 week bills, always auctioned on Monday. You can click and say $3,000, please, worth of T-bills. No, I don't know what the rate is, but Terry said, gee, they're ticking up. There should be a little bit, 4.3% or a little bit higher. That would be good for me. So you click and say, at the auction,
right,
I want to buy $3,000. Now, they won't take $3,000 and you leave $500 in there because you need it for emergencies. You don't want to lock it all up 6 months. But they will not take $3,000 out. They'll take $2,900 and something dollars. You get your interest up front and pay no Illinois taxes on it.
Okay, Terry, more questions for you. You ready?
Ready, yes.
Well, what about that one question? If the T-bill rates go up, will I-bonds as well?
Yeah, well, I-bonds are based on the 6-month inflation rate. The current I-bond rate, and I just noticed that my there's a link on under my columns, but I'm going to try and get it updated on the box, everything you need to know about I-bonds. But anyway, the current rate for I-bonds is 3.11%. That includes a base rate of 1.2%, which will stick with it for the entire lifetime. And then on May 1st, coming up, the rate will change again. So, you know, inflation's still at only about 3%. Rates may tick up a teeny bit, but I doubt it in May. So I'm just not buying any new I-bonds. I think you'd be better off with 6-month month bills. Rates are changing, and obviously they don't have inflation under control. And obviously, so here's the big thing about the stock market. Remember when last year, I do remember at the economic forecast, we asked all the panelists, how many rate cuts will there be in 2024? It was like 6 or 8. Well, they really didn't start until September, and there were only 3. Then for this year, well, it'll be 2 or 3, probably starting in March. Well, the Fed's not about to cut rates now. In fact, all of a sudden, the discussion has turned to, whoops, inflation is ticking up.
Yeah.
Will the Fed have to raise rates? So, yeah, I-bond rates lag. They reflect a 6-month rate of change in inflation. T-bills are offered every Monday, and Monday the yields will be a bit higher.
Somebody asked if the president can get rid of the Fed chair. Can Donald Trump fire the chair of the Fed?
I hope not. But if he's an independent. Well, you know what? I don't know what anybody can do anymore. Theoretically, no.
Yeah, okay, I'll leave it at that. John, Terry, please ask Terry this question. I'm 69 years old and very, capital letters, concerned with possible turmoil domestically and worldwide over the next several years. I have successfully fought the urge to bury my retirement savings in the backyard. I do understand the inflation risk, but can Terry dissuade me from extremely reducing my exposure to stocks and seek the safety of 4 to 5% guaranteed returns for the next several years, along with sleeping better?
Well, no. Here's some things we know when you're making that decision. How much chicken money do I have? The first thing you know is that over the long run, 20-year periods, a diversified portfolio of stocks has always beat inflation. So you probably, you know, you probably have 25 years to go just based on the actuarial tables. So you need some exposure to a diversified portfolio of stocks. On the other hand, pretty soon you'll take RMDs. You don't want to be selling stocks in a bear market. And I've lived through 3 or 4 bear markets of down 50%. So this is the balancing act. In fact, just posting, I think it might even be up by now, on our podcast. Remember we had Jim Stack on a week ago or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Of InvestTech Research. Well, we did a longer podcast at friendstalkmoney.org. I'll link it on my website. Just going up today. Just heard that it was ready to post before we came on air. And we talked about how you sort out how much exposure you need to stocks because America will survive. There will be growth. But you need to sleep and you need to make withdrawals. And so I don't mind seeing retirees have 50% or less in the stock
market. No kidding.
Especially, I don't mind that at all. Well, hello.
No, I'm not surprised.
You're talking to me.
I'm supporting you. Yeah, go ahead.
So I don't be ashamed of, oh my God, I want half my money in T-bills. You won't get rich, but you won't get poor.
But you're not saying 100% of your money in T-bills.
Well, you know, to some people, I absolutely do. When someone posts and says, I'm a widow, I'm 74, this is all the money I have, my broker says I should buy X and Y, I go, oh no, hon, that's all chicken money. Because it's one thing if you have, I don't know what the word enough, I'm going to put that in air quotes, money, so that you hope to grow it, you hope to leave some to your children, then you need some exposure to the stock market. But if this is it, and if you're just barely going to make it on your Social Security, maybe you have a pension, and you're just hoping to keep up, you know, keep paying your bills as long as you live, then you can have 100% chicken money. That's okay with me. But don't, not cheap chicken money. Don't let anyone get away paying you 2.9%. You should be getting at least 4% on a 3 or 6 month CD or on T-bills.
Donna's got a question for Terry Savage. You're on WGN. Hi, Donna.
I have a teacher's pension. I'm 88 years old. I've had it for over 20 years. When I first heard about this Fairness Act, I called. And they said, well, you might qualify. You might not. You will get a letter. Will I qualify?
Oh, good.
No, that was a question. Are you asking, will you qualify?
I thought you said, well, I qualify. Well, here's what you have to do. You have to contact Social Security.
I did that already once. But I've not heard. This is, you know...
Well, what you need
to do is just call Social Security.
You have to, when you call Social Security, you there will be a bunch of questions they ask you. You just ask about the Fairness Act. Now, they should be, you tell them that you want to apply for your benefits. Now, some teachers also contributed to Social Security. They participated in school districts that took out FICA from your paycheck. So you would be eligible. And if you haven't applied for Social Security, just say you want to apply. They will take your application. Then they will look everything up.
And if you are eligible, then you don't have any other forms to fill out. Then you just wait for it to populate in your account, right?
Well, it's like anybody else applying for Social Security. You should get an answer very quickly. So they're just inundated with calls from people who want to know when will it come and so forth. You just call and say, I've never applied for Social Security before. I want to apply now. And if they say, why not? You're 88. You say, well, I didn't think I would get one because of my my pension,
sure.
Teacher's pension. You say, but now I want to apply. They'll be able to tell you right away. And I'd love to do this with you over the phone. I'd like to take you to MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com, where you can put in your Social Security number very securely, and they will tell you if you're entitled to benefits.
Oh, that's interesting to know. Okay, Terry, I'm going to put you on pause, and Donna, good luck. And remember, the information Terry gives sometimes is fast and furious. We always take this whole conversation, we put it at WGNRadio.com, and if you go to the Wintrust Business Lunch after the show today, you will see this conversation with names, phone numbers, addresses, websites, etc. Somebody said, what is a good gold mutual or ETF to invest in? Terry likes gold. She'll answer that in a minute. First, let's update you with more business news and Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A charter bus company will launch new inner-city routes that run through Chicago starting this summer. GoGo Charters, based in Texas, will launch several Midwest routes, including one that connects Chicago to Madison, Wisconsin, with stops in Waukegan, Milwaukee, and several other cities. Grains reports another route will connect Chicago to Indianapolis, with stops in Gary, Merrillville, and Lafayette. GoGo says its buses are relatively new and have high-speed internet. Pricing for the bus routes hasn't been disclosed. Another large warehouse in Joliet has been leased and will boost the area's reputation as a distribution hub. RJW Logistics Group has signed a lease for nearly 1 million square feet of space at 2903 Schweitzer Road. The Romeoville-based company had previously leased another large warehouse just a few miles away on Laraway Road. The new lease shows demand remains strong for distribution space and storage. It's unclear how many jobs this new warehouse will create. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Okay, thank you, sir. Now we got the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And on the phone is someone who never thought his company would be selling its frozen Mexican dinners in Costco stores.
It was never anything that was on my radar to try to do.
But Art Velazquez of Chicago's very own Baja Foods was at a trade conference in San Diego about a year ago.
Someone mentioned that we should probably get together and talk with them.
And they got a meeting with the San Diego region buyer for Costco, and it did not go as expected. More about that after I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDriveChicago.com. For nearly 25 years, Baja Foods has been making its frozen enchilada meals for other brands, not for themselves. So before the pitch to Costco, it needed a brand and something to put on the label. Well, it has an executive chef who does a cooking segment on Univision once a month.
I always saw him as, you know, a celebrity chef, so that's how we came up with the Chef Gustavo brand.
Yeah, they brought in some help to design a logo and label for the Chef Gustavo brand, and they were ready for the meeting.
Yes, they lead you to the kitchen.
Where the frozen enchiladas were heated up and served, the buyer liked them, but not enough to place an order.
We're still going back and forth with the buyer in San Diego.
But Art learned that each Costco region does its own buying, so he came home and set up a meeting to pitch the Midwest buyer in Oak Brook. Once again, they got notes.
And they asked us to do a couple things, and we eventually added some sauce to the meal.
Here's the good part. As of last Wednesday,
we're selling chicken and cheese enchilada meals in Costco's in the Midwest region, which is 14 states and 109 stores.
That's huge.
Getting into the one region is big because now we can prove ourselves.
Fingers crossed.
We're anxiously awaiting how it goes for the next 4 to 8 weeks.
And understandably, everybody at Baja Foods is excited, especially Chef Gustavo.
He actually was in a couple of Costco's over the weekend trying to coax a few people into purchasing the meals.
Chicago's very own Baja Foods, now in Costco. On the food calendar, well, you can stick your thumb in this one. It's National Plum Pudding Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
On the Wintrust Business Lunch with Terry Savage, and lots of questions for you, Terry.
Okay, quickie, I'm sorry I didn't get this said before you went to commercial. Donna, if you're still listening, call back. Give our producer Pete your phone number. I will call you. At 88, you can't wait for Social Security to figure it out.
Yeah.
I will help you. So
I believe
call
that.
And leave
That's
your phone
nice
number.
You,
I hope you're still listening.
You like gold. You like, is there an ETF or mutual fund in gold that you like?
There are a bunch of gold mutual funds. Fidelity has them. Vanguard has them. U.S. Global Investors, I've invested in their gold mutual funds forever and ever. I don't think it matters much. They all have diversified portfolios. There are gold ETFs. The most direct way to buy gold is a stock listed on the New York Stock Exchange, and the symbol is GLD. And that directly correlates with the price of gold every day.
Right.
So that's, if you want a direct correlation, you're not worried about collecting dividends, you're not looking for capital gains, you could buy that in your IRA, in the brokerage division of your IRA.
But an ETF might be in mining stocks as well, right? I mean, it would be something allied with the gold mining business?
Yes, there are certainly diversified exchange-traded funds for gold, for natural resources. So I hesitate to give one that's very, you go to Morningstar.com and search gold mutual funds, gold ETFs. But the direct way, if you just want to, I want to use my IRA money, and there are some places where you can open an IRA and buy gold coins, but then, I mean, there's charges and you have to store the coins and you don't want to leave them there and all that stuff. If it's your IRA and you want to be invested in gold, and it's not about dividends, it's about, I think the price of gold is going up, the stock is GLD.
Okay, Terry, just a quick reaction to this. 708, I'm 63 years old. My money guy just put me down to 50% in stocks. I feel better. That's the end of that message.
I like your money guy. Okay.
Terry, I have two grandsons graduating in May in high school. I'm giving each of them $500. Would it be better to buy T-bills or just give them the cash? One's going to go to college, the other may not.
I think you should give them the cash and tell them that they have some choices with it. You might want to have introduce them to a credit card that is based on a savings account deposit. It's called a secured card. And if they use that wisely and their credit limit will each be, you can go to creditcards.com, click on secured cards, get information on where you can get a regular Visa or MasterCard with, say, a $500 savings account deposit. That's their limit. Teach them to buy one thing every month, pay it off on time every month using an account they have, perhaps online bill payment. It would at least get them started on a good credit score.
Okay. Ron has a tax question for Terry Savage. You're on WGN. Hi, Ron.
Hi, guys. I like the segment. I got a quick question on that. I want to file direct file for the first time. And when I go into it, it says because I went out of my retirement account, I can't file until March. You have any, can you set any light on that? Is it like March 1st, end of March? Or
I just
up in the
just
air?
Posted, I'll tell you what, post that question on my blog. I just today posted a column called Here We Go, It's Tax Time Again. And I wrote about this direct file program. It's at irs.gov/direct file. It doesn't let you deduct. It gives you capturing 1099s and so forth. But I'm not quite sure what you're running into. And I talked with the IRS. I never heard anything about a March deadline. Go to terrysavage.com. Post that on Ask Terry. I'll get an answer for you right away.
Good luck to you on that. Hey, Terry, I'm retiring soon, and I have a pension that will pay me $2,500 a month. Or I could take a lump sum of $425,000. What do you think?
Well, first of all, you have to find out if that $2,500 a month is a good payout on that $400,000. So go to immediateannuities.com, put in whether this is supposed to be a payment just over your lifetime, your age, and your gender, and it'll tell you what good insurance companies would give you a month. But the second question is, do you have the option to roll that lump sum into an IRA? If you want to manage that yourself, you might find that you will do better over the long run. Then again, you could lose some of the money investing it. But one of the things we know is that only 3% inflation, the value of that $2,500 will be cut in half in 25 years, the spending power. You're going to live 25 years. So $2,500 today may pay your rent or whatever, but it won't do that because of inflation, and it'll never change. So this is a big, big kind of advice thing that you need. Probably you should have a fee-only fiduciary to advise you on that.
I'm doing the math, just multiplying $2,500 a month by 12 and then by how many years. And it's a little more complicated than that.
No, it's not that. It's not, no, because the time value of money.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Again, go to immediateannuities.com, put in, I'm Joe, I have $425,000,
yep.
I'm this old, I live in Illinois, click, and you'll find out top-rated insurance companies might give you less or more. So you know that, first of all, whether $2,500 is fair.
Yeah.
But second of all, could I roll it over, company? Because if I could, I might
want
to invest
it. What's that website, Terry? What's the name of that?
Immediateannuities.com.
Ding, 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 time's up.
Oh, okay.
TerrySavage.com. That's the website for the Money Lady. She'll join us again next Wednesday. Well done, Terry.
Thank you, John. See you next week.